With a 50% obesity rate in the U.S. and more unhealthy people than ever before, it is time to make America healthy. Welcome to Make America Healthy with Beth Shaw. If you're feeling tired, toxic, heavy, slow, or stressed, then keep listening. Beth and her expert guests are here to offer practical advice and share the tools you need to reclaim your physical, mental, and emotional health. Now, here is your host, Beth Shaw.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Make America Healthy. First, I'd just like to thank all of our listeners. Last week, we had over 10,000 listeners with Dr. Edward Group from the Center for Global Healing. And so we just want to thank you so much for listening and trying to get healthier. Today, we will have a very special guest, Dr. Patrick Porter, the inventor of the Brain Tab, and we will be speaking about brain health, cognition, improved cognitive function, Alzheimer's, dementia, and all kinds of fun things. So many of you may know me from YogaFit Training Systems. We're the largest yoga school in the world, and we have been training people to take better care of their health for over 24 years, physically as well as mentally. Brain health really fits into all of that. On my own personal quest to understand my brain better, I have had EEGs. I've gone for brain scans and SPECT scans and take a ton of different supplements to try to improve my own cognitive function, used a number of different devices. And I have to say, I'm very obsessed with cognitive function. I want my brain to work better every year that I get older, and many times it works in reverse. So we're here today to speak with Patrick Porter, talking about brain health and how trauma affects the brain and really what we can do about it to take charge of our cognitive function and brain health. Dr. Porter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Beth. It's great to be here.
So I want to just, for our listeners who might not understand different brain states, brain waves, all of that, can you just give us a little run through of the brain and brain states and why they are all so important?
Sure. Yeah, there's no one brain wave that's more important than others, although we hear people who meditate want to get into alpha, so I'll start there. Alpha is a very relaxed state. We go into it when we're doing something we love, maybe when we're talking with a girlfriend or a boyfriend and we're having a great time and time seems to fly. That's one of the signatures of alpha. But it's a high creativity state. And we also, for brain function, we find that alpha will help with creativity and problem solving. But if you don't have alpha, then you're probably going to end up on the autism spectrum and you probably can't speak. So when we do brain scans on people without alpha, that's what we find. That's kind of the negative side of alpha if you don't have it. If you go, let's go down a little bit deeper. If we go into theta, theta is a brainwave state just between that creativity state and sleep. Most people are in it just for a little bit. They actually call it the hypnagogic state because inventors and people who are creative people, they'll usually get insights from their dreams as they come in and out of theta. It's a very lucid state. It actually triggers the production of GABA, which is a precursor to DMT. So for those people that have ever heard of those kind of psychedelics, it's because our brain produces those neurotransmitters, and that activity in the brain is why those work. So we have our own kind of supply, if you will. So when we're in theta, we get that. A lot of people are missing theta. So the theta helps us to reach deep levels of sleep. If we don't have theta before sleep, we're not building in that what we call GABA. Is like a lot of people will take GABA to get better sleep, but our brain can produce so much more GABA on its own by getting into that state. It's also known for deep parasympathetic responses. So a lot of people will hear about theta healing, or they'll use that term, they'll throw it around, because theta is best known for really healing and getting the power that made the body to heal the body. So it's a really important brainwave. Now all these are going on at once, and I'll kind of summarize it at the end. Delta is the brainwave of deep sleep. Now the importance of delta is if you get a lot of delta deep sleep or level 4 sleep, they mentioned this in American Scientific Magazine in 2016. That's when they found out, or they at least told everybody about the glia lymphomic system. This is a part of our brain that cleans our brain. And if we don't reach this level 4 sleep, we don't clean our brain. So we might have brain fog. We might get headaches. So the negative side of not getting enough delta during sleep is that now the unfortunate that we find, Beth, is that most people have an overabundance of delta when they're awake. So when we do brain scans on people, we'll find 70% of their brain wants to be in delta while they're awake. And then when they go to sleep, it flips and they get more beta activity, which is the next brainwave I'm going to talk about. So the importance of that is you don't want a lot of delta activity when you're awake. You only want about 10%. Any more than that, and it could show a sign of inflammation. It could also be a sign of traumatic brain injury. Like when we're doing some of our studies with traumatic brain injury, we find a lot of delta activity because the brain literally wants to shut down and reboot. It's kind of like an old Microsoft computer. You know, the best way to fix it is to reboot it. That's kind of the way the brain works. So when we go back to beta, beta is the brainwave that unfortunately most people hang out the most in, and it has to do with high stress. Now we need beta. We need about 45% of our brain in beta when we're doing everyday activity so we can interact and react to situations. But if we get too much of that, we get stressed out. It builds up too much cortisol. And the downside of that is if, for instance, what happened to us in 2020 and 21, they now know that clinically they found that those years of stress can shrink the hippocampus by more than 3/4 of an inch. So, and that stress hormone is released in the beta state. When we're in alpha, we get acetylcholine. There's a lot of great neurochemicals, but there's also the negative sides of those. And there's one more brainwave I'll just mention, so that's becoming more popular in the news nowadays. It's called gamma. Gamma is what most people read about when they hear about like Buddhist adepts when they meditate, and that's what everybody wants to get into. But what I find is that high achievers, whether they're sports performers or business people or healers, they'll have a high degree of gamma, and gamma is kind of like the higher level of theta. It's a super state where people get into the flow state. So all five of these brainwaves actually are always present or should be always present. If any one of them are missing from your brainwave synchronicity, then you'll have an issue. You'll either have stress, anxiety, or depression. So we need that balanced brainwave, but not 20%, 20%, 20%. It's more like 45% beta, 30% alpha, and the rest can be a combination of low level, 10 or under, you know, as far as percentages goes. Then we're going to have a healthy brain that can interact. You can come and go. You can, if you're stressed out, that's fine, but you can relax afterwards.
Wonderful. Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of meditation. Mm-hmm. And can you just describe to our listeners how meditation really accesses the best parts of these brain states?
Right. With meditation, the whole goal is to turn off the outer world, turn off the senses of the external world and go internal. To do that, we're going to start to eliminate the beta brainwave as much as possible. In fact, when you look at the people getting into a state called samadhi, which is a deep meditative state, that's like a non-thinking state. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that's what they're supposed to do the first time they close their eyes and meditate. Now, we're looking at people who've meditated for years, and they're still not able to reach that deep state. So that it's okay to think while you're in that meditative state, but when you close your eyes and you start getting into alpha, which is a very relaxed state, there's two cycles, if you will, 10 cycles per second and 7.8 cycles per second are actual idle points for the brain. And they happen to reside in the two different brain waves of alpha and then theta. So when people first start meditating, they're going to get into alpha. Now, we just finished a program that was actually published by PubMed, where we did a pranayama, which is a breathing exercise where we're switching off the nostrils at the while we're doing the breathing and meditating. And we showed that within 6 weeks, you could match the hemispheres of the brain. Now, what this means is the two hemispheres now are matched. So meditation, that's what we want to have happen. And what we find when that happens is you have lower stress, lower anxiety, cortisol levels lower. You have an increase in these neurotransmitters that make you feel good. You basically are inoculating yourself against the stresses of life. So meditation, there's also a spiritual component to it, but on a physiological level, you're building up your neurotransmitter bank account so you can take those hits that happen during the day, whether it's a negative text or somebody cuts you off in traffic, you basically have a greater capacity. Now, the more you meditate, the more you practice, you can get into the deeper states like theta and be resonating at 7.8. And the nice thing is that that's the earth frequency. So you're actually resonating with nature. So that's our bodies are designed to use lower frequencies like trees or the earth and the ocean, things like that, instead of using like 3G or 5G, you know, all these different, the reason those affect us is they change our frequency. And so depending upon how strong you are, when you meditate, you're basically boosting that frequency. And the more we train to alpha and theta, the more resilience we have. And we sleep better. You know, the side effects are many. Sleep better, mood disorder, moods change. I mean, we've done so many studies where we showed people that were anxious, and we did studies with telemarketers. So I don't know about you, but that's a job I wouldn't want to have. You know, talk about rejection. You know, you're going to, but these people, we wanted to show that even with the rejection, they could learn to cope better if they started meditating. So we've done many studies on that just to show them how to focus and be present in the moment.
So I have a question for you. When you said change our frequency, what frequency are you referring to?
Well, our brain emits an electrical frequency. So electrically, our brain has a frequency between 0.05 and 100. And that's the same as the Earth. The Earth, if we were to fly to Earth, Beth, you were on my spaceship and we were flying toward Earth, we would measure the Earth frequencies between 0.5 and 100, 100 being high gamma. So now our heart has a magnetic frequency. So we have these two. We have an electrical frequency. We have a magnetic frequency. Our heart frequency is what controls the others. So the magnetic heart actually can be measured from 18 feet away. The electronic brain needs probes. So we have to actually attach them to the brain. That's why we have skull caps and we do that, because the electrical is very small amount of frequency, but it feeds into our heart. So when our brain and our heart are in coherence, which means they're communicating, there's actually 40,000 neutrino cells in our heart. So we have a heart brain. That's the one that controls the whole show. So for those out there that have practiced like TM or heartfulness meditation, what the gurus knew is that if we tune into our heart, we magnify this frequency, our heart frequency. And it happens to be between 7.8 and 10 hertz frequency, depending upon the person. That's what, when you're in harmony, when you have that coherence, you happen to be in these parasympathetic states.
But there's no way for the average person to be able to measure these, is what I'm understanding.
Oh, if you had, no, well, with a heart rate variability, you can at times, depending upon the device you're looking at, you can see if you have a balanced parasympathetic and sympathetic system. A lot of the new, like BioStrap or Aura Ring.
Yeah, I wear an Aura Ring, actually, yeah. And I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, so you can set it that you're doing a meditation, and it will actually record your state. That heart rate variability is actually measuring your coherence. That's what it's measuring. So if you have like 100 score after sleeping, that means during sleep you had an average score of 100 coherence. If you had a 93, then it was 93% of the time you were coherent. The heart and the brain were communicating effectively. Your heart literally communicates twice as much as your brain does to your heart. Your heart is running the show. So that's why HRV works so well.
That's really good information. Let's talk a little bit about different, I know there's a lot of supplements for better cognitive function. Are there any supplements that will bring us into more of a brain state that we might want to spend more time in?
Well, if you get a good blend of mushrooms now, the psilocybin kind of thing, the low dose, those are fantastic. In fact, we did a study with Dr. Rosenthal out of Dallas, and he wanted to do a dosing with a psilocybin, because what happens is when you get stuck in these stress states, your brain learns a pattern that isn't healthy anymore. It learns to actually create more stress. So some of these supplements, like there's one called Thrive and another one that a friend of mine out of California has, but it's all the mushrooms mixed in. So it's low dose. And you can actually take it every day. So it's not as much dosing as you would if you were doing microdosing. But what we found was the brain in those states actually starts to create a higher level of gamma just by having those in the system. Now, we find there's a lot of good supplementation. You can take GABA even if you're having sleeping problems. But the thing to remember is when you do meditation or you do some of these things like PMF or brain tap, these other things that you can do, you're triggering your body's own natural pharmacy. So there are things you can do. Like some people will take different supplements to calm down the nervous system. anything that can calm down the nervous system is important. Now, if you have an underperforming nervous system, then there's also supplementation to do that. I'm not an expert in supplementation. I would look to your guest last week, you know, someone like that who's an expert. We do have, there are a lot of brain supplements out there that are just shams. So I would look at who's, you know, I look at professional versions like what Dr. Group has. I mean, he has a good supplement program for that.
Great. You and I met at a conference earlier. Well, actually, it was last year now. And you did a fantastic presentation, including one that really resonated with me about what trauma does to the brain, what stress does to the brain. My book, Healing Trauma with Yoga, the second chapter in the book is How Trauma Affects the Brain. Anything you want to share about, before we get into your device, healing the brain naturally and organically, other than meditation, obviously, exercise, clean eating?
Well, breath work is really important too. When you think about, I always tell people, no matter what you do, you have to decide how you're going to get your body moving and breathing to really have good brain health. So that means yoga, Tai Chi, or dancing, you know, those are the things you have to find out what's going to work for you, because this is, you know, going to prepare your brain for the day, not only to prepare your brain for meditation, but I think that the other is that give yourself time to be away from technology. You know, we're so many people. I mean, I walked into a restaurant the other day and there were six people sitting at a round table and they were all texting. And I joked to my wife, I said, I wonder if they're texting each other, you know, because they're all sitting there and nobody's talking to each other. So, you know, do a digital detox daily. I mean, you don't have to talk all the time. I think one of the best things for the brain is to maybe, if somebody were to email me, they'd get an email back saying, I might take 3 days to respond to you, you know, mainly because I get so many emails, but my assistant's sorting through that. It's so big a hassle. I hired somebody to do it because I don't like to spend so much time behind the computer screens doing those things. Not that it's going to hurt me in the moment, but over time, just getting that dopamine response all the time. You think about social media, text messaging, all of those are dopamine addictions. So
what state are those addictions going to put us in? And then speaking of addictions, I'd love for you to discuss how addicts' brains are different than non-addict brains. Yeah.
Well, when you get a dopamine hit, that's a beta hit. So you have to be active to get it. That's why a lot of them are alcohol, drugs, TV, porn, whatever it is, those are all dopamine promoters, and it keeps you in a high state of stress. So the only relief you get is a higher level of stress, which isn't good. The body learns to do that. So an addict's brain is off balance. And believe it or not, almost every disorder from dementia, Alzheimer's, to addiction, to ADHD, ADD, we see a similar brain pattern. And the brain pattern is that the left hemisphere, which has to do with logic and reason, slows down. And the right hemisphere that has to do with emotion and joy and activities, it increases. So what this means is that part of our brain that's looking for, you might call it hedonistic behaviors, it starts to control the show instead of the part of the brain that controls logic. You know, logic, if we all worked under logic like Spock on Star Trek, nobody would be addicted, because they'd know this doesn't make sense. You'd stop, you know, but the problem is that emotions take over and pleasure drives the system. So they're always chasing that high, let's say. There's a really good book called Finding Your Perfect High. And it's a pretty old book, but it was written. I used it when I wrote the programs for DUIs for the state of Arizona. I used to write the programs. If you got caught drunk driving or driving under the influence of a narcotic, you would have to take my training classes there.
I understand that the state of Arizona has probably some of the harshest DUI penalties, including like if you get caught once, you have to wear a bracelet around your ankle.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not a big, there's not a lot of population, but they really started, I think it was mainly because I don't know exactly why, but there seemed to be a lot of addictions there, you know, per population, because it's not a very populated state. But what we found was I did the second time offenders. So yeah, you might get caught once, that's an accident, but twice, then the universe is trying to tell you to get some help. You know, that's the kind of way we look at it. So I think the addict's brain, they always think they're going to use whatever the supplement is, whatever the activity is that they're addicted to, that's going to balance them out. It's going to make them normal. what most people don't know is that the addict isn't trying to get high anymore. They're trying to get back to normal, but their brain chemistry is so far off. And the nice thing is with people like people using meditation or brain tap or, you know, yoga, these are all things that we know train the brain. You know, we're going to train the brain through activities.
Awesome. We're going to go to a little break right now, and then we're going to come back and talk about your device, the brain tap, and how we can use it to balance ourselves out. And if you're an addict, you might want to pay careful attention to the next segment. Make America Healthy is brought to you by YogaFit. YogaFit is the largest yoga school in the world, featuring trainings for yoga, meditation, pranayama, breathing exercises, and other mind-body disciplines, including Ayurveda, trauma-informed yoga, and healing yourself. So if you're interested in a conference, in a training, in a corporate workshop, please visit us online at yogafit.com. And we'd also like to thank our sponsor, the Center for Global Healing. It's a good chance you're working on your New Year's resolutions right now of cleaning yourself up, taking care of your health and your immune system. All health begins in the gut. Remember that 85% of your body's serotonin, the happiness hormone, is made in the gut. So Oxy Powder is a fabulous formula that I personally use. In fact, I just got done doing their liver cleanse, and it cleans out your colon. It's oxygen-based. It's based on one of Tesla's formulas, and it will give you a ton of energy. You will feel a lot lighter when you take it. So you can save 10% if you go to globalhealingcenter.com and enter the code YOGAFIT, all in caps, at Global Healing Center. I recommend and trust this brand because they're family-owned, organic, and backed by science and nature. Thank you to our sponsors. Dr. Patrick Porter. So recapping, we have talked about different brain states, theta, delta, beta, alpha, gamma, meditation, yoga, and the importance of having a balanced brain so that we feel better, we function better, we have less cortisol and less stress, and more happiness and joy. So let's talk a little bit about the device that you invented, the brain tap. I happen to have one, and I use it often. It works really well. In fact, it works so well that sometimes if I do, the Delta program, I will put myself into a coma that is hard to come back from. So I've learned to do that program before I go to sleep. Actually, I just texted you recently and was like, these naps that I'm taking, well, I didn't intend for them to turn to naps, but I use the device and I responded very well. So yes. Tell us a little bit about this. It's got lights, it's got frequency, it hooks up to an app on your phone. I love it. It's actually, I'm a little embarrassed to say it's replaced a lot of my meditation these days. That's how much I love it. So tell us about the brain tap.
Yeah, what we did, we actually invented it for pain clinics in the beginning in the 80s because people couldn't get out of their reactionary mind. They couldn't get out of that stress to relax. So people are using it to meditate at deeper levels, and it seems to help their other meditation that they're doing. So we're using vibratory frequencies. So what happens is when we're talking about frequencies within the person, our brain literally has cilia or hair-like follicles on the brain that is always sensing and feeling its surroundings. So when somebody says, I get a good vibe from that person or a bad vibe from that person, there's some science now behind that. We now know that we pick up on the frequencies of people. We pick up on the frequencies of our environment. In fact, they now know that our genes actually express differently in different environments. So what we've done is we've used light, sound, and vibration. So I'll break the three down so people can kind of understand it. First, we're going to use light frequencies because light controls, when you're using light or using the eyes, you actually have to occupy or basically activate 100% of your brain. So different than some people when they meditate, one of the keys to meditation is to keep your brain awake. And what a lot of people do is they actually fall asleep. So when your eyes close, which control 30% of your hearing, if you're not stimulating them. So we use retinal flashing, and that retinal flashing is actually tuned to the frequencies typically between 18 Hertz frequency and 0.05 Hertz frequency. That happens to be between that beta and delta frequency. And we're actually triggering different things in each eye, because whatever happens in the left eye is affecting the right brain. Whatever's happening in the left eye is affecting, I'm sorry, whatever's affecting the right brain is affecting the left brain, and the left eye is affecting the right brain. So there's this crossing in our body. Now, we've also mirrored that light with our ears. Now, a lot of people look at the brain tap and they go, wow, what, this is weird. Why do they have lights in the ears? Well, we have something called chromophores, and these are cells on our body that absorb energy. That's why if you've ever went to sleep in a room that wasn't completely dark and you couldn't get to sleep because it felt like you were getting energy, it's because you were. Our body is designed to absorb energy in this form of light, sound, and vibration. You know, we put the light there because we want to energize the brain. You know, when I was talking earlier about 70% of the brain wanting to go to sleep while they're awake, and in most of our 30,000 scans we've done over the last 10 years, it's because the energy in the brain has been depleted. That's from bad diets, from bad living, not moving and breathing. That's why when people start doing something like yoga, they instantly have this awakened brain, because now their brain's getting oxygen and things. So we want to encourage that. Now, what we did with the light, not only are we bringing light in for healing the brain, but we have sounds. So there's two different kinds of sounds. There's actually four different kinds of sounds, but I'll simplify it here. We have frequencies that are different tones in different, like, let's say we want to get an alpha frequency. We could put a tone in one ear that's 310 hertz, a sound in the other that's 300. The brain actually hears the difference. It's a phantom sound that it hears of 10 hertz. That happens to be alpha. So then we change that frequency over time. There's a time domain, and the brain follows it. So we can actually train the brain to go from an awakened beta state into a state of deep sleep. And that's what you were telling people. Your brain responded really well because you went into the deep delta state. And our brains are used to being at deep delta only when we're at night sleeping. So if you do it in the middle of the day, you could create, that's why they call it also the hypnagogic state, which is almost like a groggy state of sleep. You know, that's kind of the way the words work.
Yeah, I was doing that late afternoon. I love that Delta program. It's the first one you ever put me on, and I'm addicted to it. But late afternoon probably is not the best time to be doing it.
Yeah, that's a good time to do. We always tell people what the brain tap does is it moves you from one transitional state to the other. So if you're tired in the middle of the day, which is normal, most people don't know, Beth, that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon across the world, everyone's body temperature drops 2 degrees.
And that's when people are reaching for the caffeine and the sugar. That's why I always recommend to people and my clients, meditate in the afternoon. It's the best time to do it because you're just going to reboot your brain.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, and we found like when we do work with like the Olympics, or if we do work with professional athletes, that they can do the same thing after a workout. So, you know, it's one thing to work your body, but your body needs time to recover. So with this light, sound, and vibration, then we put music in there. We have different music like solfeggio frequencies, Noget frequencies, but we also have music that is specially tuned music. We call it holographic music because we use the recordings that actually are spatially. We want the brain to create space so it doesn't feel confined. Once you have
that.
Yeah. So then we also have on about 1,000 of our sessions of the 1,400, we have words. So if people are working on something specific, they can work on, you know, weight loss, stop smoking, stress reduction, enlightenment, let's say, because we have ones that are called Journey of the Soul even, you know, so we have different sessions like that that take people through a life mastery program or a vibrant health program. We work with a lot of doctors. We have 2,400 clinics. So most of those are for clinical use when you're coming into a clinic, but if you own the equipment, you can do it for yourself at home. So we use that all together. And what we know is that as people use it, we have lots of studies we can go over if you think that's appropriate, but we have the main study that I think for this group is that we were able to show with 100 people, non-meditators, because meditators are going to skew the results. So we took non-meditators pre and post one session with brain tap, and we showed a 39.8% improvement of their stress level. So we brought their stress level down 39.8. And then we showed if they used brain tap 3 times a week, which is our average user uses it 28 times a month. So 3 times a week is less than our average user, but they were able to maintain that as their norm. So that meant they basically woke up every morning with about 40% less stress.
So are you using binaural beats? Because I know a lot of people are familiar with those. You know, there's all kinds of binaural beat meditations off of YouTube. Is that what you're using?
We're using part of it as binaurals, but we've also mixed in isochronic tones, which is like the earth frequencies. Our isochronic tones are mono, so you don't have to wear earphones. And then we also have mirrored frequencies to match that. So think about it like going to the symphony, and isochronic tones are like the drum section. They're nice to listen to, but alone, they're kind of boring. So what we did is we put a symphony together so we could have that symphony of brainwaves happening while you're listening. So we just added more content, made it a richer experience for people.
Yeah, it's really a fabulous device. I probably use mine 4 or 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I took your advice and I did 2 alpha trainings back to back. And I also, I know I owe you some meditations, some guided meditations.
That'd be great.
That I'm taking far too long to give to you. So this is all really good news that we've gotten to the place with technology that we can change our brains at will, reduce our stress levels. Obviously, things like yoga and meditation are huge. I would imagine that they all work very well together. You mentioned psilocybin. I have done several plant medicine journeys. I'm a huge fan. And you were sharing with me also that some of the programs on your device can get you to the same state that one would get to using psychedelics.
Yeah, that's the Gamma program. So if people do get the app, which I'm sure you're going to share at some point with people, but they can actually go to the Gamma series, start with number 1 and move through 1 through 10 each day doing another one. And we've had people report back that without even taking a psilocybin, they're getting the journey. And how we got that was kind of interesting because that David Rosenthal study, we had quite a few of the vets that did not want to take a psilocybin. And I've never heard of it being addictive, but we didn't want to argue with them. So what we did was we brain mapped the people on their trips. And what we found out was amazing. One of the biggest things was the high degree of gamma activity that people have while they're on these plant-based journeys. Their brain goes into almost another dimension is what it seems like. And then when they come back to local time, let's call it, their brain then synchronizes and includes more of that gamma activity. So it has a residual effect. In other words, it's not just a one-time, one-and-done kind of thing. It repatterns the brain so that the brain isn't stuck in those stress cycles. And I think that's a big contributor of why it helps so many addicts and things like that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I know a lot of people in recovery, and some are very open to plant medicine and other healing modalities, and some are completely shut down. It's been my experience that most people who do plant medicine actually stop whatever addiction they were in because they get to a different state of being. So can one use your device and use plant medicine at the same time?
Would it enhance the effects? Yeah, we have several people that actually certified plant medicine practitioners. I just met one in Vegas and she's going to start using it. But yeah, we have several in California. And they right now in California, they have to do it with research. So that's why they're doing the same thing in Dallas. So it's mostly researchers doing plant-based medicine. But I'm sure they're out of our thousands of users out there, they probably have done that because they've done almost everything you can think of at the same time as BrainTap, just to see the experience with the brain. And I would encourage, if you are doing it under the guise of therapy or research, it's going to enhance it because what you're going to do is that journey is going to exercise the brain. Now we have to have recovery. It's the recovery that's really going to create the healing in the brain. That's why even after yoga, you're going to lay down and, you know, let that energy kind of soak in, if you will, or, you know, have its neurological activity happen.
Well, I'm going to bring my brain tap to the next plant medicine journey that I go on for sure. Yeah. And see how that goes. Mm-hmm. So what's next in technology? I mean, they used to say that the brain is like the tip of the iceberg and we really don't understand that much about it. And it's the last frontier. What are you working on right now that our listeners would want to know about? What can they look forward to in the future in terms of changing brain states at will, dealing with addiction, trauma, recovery? We can manage our own physical health, I believe, very well. If we implement the proper tools, we can manage our own mental health, I think, to a certain degree through, CBT, DBT, mindfulness therapeutic applications, but what can we look forward to in terms of technology being able to help us have a healthier brain?
Well, we're doing a study right now that the Brazilian government is actually paying for, $250,000. It's a digital drug study to show how we can reduce pain and fibromyalgia with women. And it's gone really well. They're just computing the numbers, but they want to replace opioids with BrainTap because we can show how we downregulate cortisol levels or stress hormones, and we modulate the 54 different neurotransmitters. I think that's the tip of the iceberg. I think eventually they're going to find that light, sound, and vibration is going to be able to, now it's not going to mend a broken leg right away, but they have done things with right frequencies to heal a bone in like 24 hours, a broken leg. Evidence.
I was at a conference last weekend. I was at a conference for psychedelics and cannabis in Miami. And they were talking about future technology where there are these crystal patches that are tuned to different frequencies that we'll be able to put on our skin. So if we want to feel a certain way, we put the patch on. If our vitamin B levels are low, we put a patch that doesn't even have the vitamins in it. I mean, it's really amazing what's happening with technology. Have you heard of those?
Yeah. I brought home one of those patches that disconnects the pain cycle. And I gave it to Cynthia, my wife, because she had chronic neck pain from a surgery, and it disconnects the signal. It's not anything. It just looks like a Band-Aid or something, you know, but it worked. And it has a lifetime. I think it's going to change the way we think about it, because the pharmaceutical industry has just went crazy. The main thing is, if when you have to have a 5-minute extra exit that tells you how bad a product could be, you know, these are healthy things. That the worst thing that can happen is nothing. You know, that's what you want to look at. You know, the worst thing that can happen from a plant-based journey is you get sick. You know, other than that, you know, it's going to change your brain. So I think people are looking for that. I would consider that the digital, like digital drugs.
Love that, digital drugs.
Yeah. So everything is frequency. I mean, so what they're doing in homeopathy used to be the big way of medicine until Standard Oil took over the pharmaceutical industry. And what they did was they started having the pharmacies that came about. They're not getting any better results. They're just getting instantaneous results, and they're creating addicts, you know, addicted to their pharmaceuticals, or they can't get off them. Like they say, oh, this SSRI is not addictive. But then if you've ever known anybody that was on Prozac or any of these, they are addictive. They can't get off them. Their body rebels big time. So I think that I have a product here that's called Happy. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Yeah, I have seen it.
Yeah. So this device, you can program it like you're saying. You can say you want vitamin B. You actually use your phone. You tell it what you want that to broadcast into your body. And the cool thing is you start to have a lift. Like I wear that a lot when I'm flying on an airplane too, because it'll keep me in the right frequency while I'm on that airplane. So there's different devices out there that do these things, and they're being proven. The nice thing is that these digital drugs are being proven with clinical equipment that they can't deny. They can't say, oh, it's just a placebo, because it's going to work whether the person realizes it or not. And I would put them in the realm of homeopathy, that, you know, homeopathy in a lot of places in the world is still the first line of defense with medicine, but they've almost made it seem ridiculous here because it's a frequency-based energy that changes people.
Well, I can personally tell you, just sharing some information, I gave up my antidepressant in January, and I just, yes, my own silent protest to the pharmaceutical companies, I just stopped taking it. And I wasn't taking Prozac this round, but I have taken Prozac before, which, you know, I have to say I felt great on it. However, it shuts down your third eye and it's full of fluoride. And if, you know, you're obsessed with keeping your third eye open and you want to stay connected to spiritual consciousness, having a shut down third eye is not the best way to go. And I instead implemented a microdosing protocol and using your brain tap more often and a lot more. Obviously, I have a lot of mindfulness techniques at my disposal. But I think the problem with a lot of people on pharmaceuticals, one is that they don't know that there's any other alternatives. And then two, while they might not even be addicted to them, they're afraid to stop taking them because they don't want to go careening off a cliff.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with that, like the show that's out there called Dope Sick. It's crazy because the opioids, how it people become dependent on it. The body, their nervous system actually feels like it's going to die if they don't get this, the prescription, which I think is, I mean, I have a brother-in-law that while he was in surgery, they decided to put a patch on him that he's going to have the rest of his life, because if they take it off, the coming off of that drug is so severe that people have died from it. And they didn't get his permission. It's some kind of drug they administer for pain. It's a patch that it slowly emits this drug into your system, and you have to have it the rest of your life. It's like, why did he didn't want that? So, I mean, people are making decisions. I mean, pain is bad, but the neat thing about the brain and what most people don't know, and I've had painless surgery. My dad actually trained me to go into surgery, and I had a shoulder surgery with no anesthetic because you don't have to feel pain in the body.
So what your body, I know a lot of people have done surgeries just with meditation. Is that what you did?
Yes. My dad taught me, it was the Silva method. And once you go to level, you get beta. Once you can eliminate the beta brainwave, you can't experience pain. They can do whatever they want to your body.
So for our listeners who are now might be questioning their own brain and wondering, do I have too much beta? Like, how do I know what's going on in my brain? How do I measure it? How do I fix it? What would you tell them?
Well, first of all, I would get a smart device. You know, you can, a lot of them will do what they call ECG, which means through the cardio channel, which is that heart rate variability, you can know what brainwave you're in. You know, I would look for, if you really want to know, you find a neurologist in your area that can do a brain scan and they'll tell
you. Would you recommend, is that an EEG that people take?
Yeah, that's an EEG, brain
okay.
scan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are those pretty effective?
Well, they'll at least tell you at that moment what's going on in your brain, you know, and you can't really fake it. There's a Wabi device out there. It's an EEG, a 19 channel, and it does something where it measures the P300, which is an evoked potential. Our brain has an energy potential. What you really want to know about your brain is how much energy does it have? That has something to do with brain plasticity, what's known in science as neuroplasticity. That's how you can change the brain. So the worst thing, one way you can tell just by your own life is, if you get upset in the morning, are you still talking about it in the evening? Do you still call people the next day and tell them about it? If you do, then you probably have a stuck nervous system. And that stuck system is usually in beta. You know, because once you slip in, it's kind of like breathing. When somebody gets upset and angry, all negative emotions, the one component that's similar to all of them is there's no breath. You have to hold your breath to feel angry. You have to hold your breath to be depressed. You have to hold your breath, or you have to have shallow breathing. All of these things, the breath is so important to the health and healing of our brain and our physiology and our moods that people have forgotten how to breathe. As bizarre as that sounds, you know, people.
No, I mean, I have to remind myself all the time to breathe. And it's funny because during the first few months of COVID, I was locked up in my apartment in New York City. Gym was closed. I was teaching a lot of yoga online. I was walking my dog a lot and doing, I have an EMS machine. Yeah. And I will tell you that I went through some pretty intense mood fluctuations, but the thing that really made me feel best consistently was a 30-minute yoga session. Yeah. I was like a new person. And that's because when you practice yoga, you have to breathe when you're moving and move when you're breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people don't realize the nervous system, it's designed to move and breathe. And that's why what's happened to us over this last 50 years really is we became people who sat all day. You know, it used to be, if you look at our industry at the turn of the century, people were up walking 12, 14 hours a day. They're on their feet. And before that, when you're going to, you know, when you look back at the ancient tribes, they were outside. If it was light out, they were out there doing something. They weren't, you know, watching Netflix, you know, or playing computer games. They were up moving and breathing. And, you know, we have such stressful events. And when you're stressed, when you're sitting, there's no place for all those chemicals to go. And one of the things I think, I was just going to add one more thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So one more thing, just so they know, when you are stressed out, not only does it affect your brain, but your liver produces as much sugar as a candy bar. So if you're one of those people that say, how do they get high blood sugar? I don't eat candy. That's because your body produces sugar much faster when you're under stress. So the best thing you can do to lower your blood sugar is actually start yoga, tai chi, meditation, brain tap. You got to do something to get your stress levels down, because that the and especially if the pancreas has went crazy because of those stress. What happens is we produce the sugar, the pancreas creates the what's necessary to buffer it. You know, when we have insulin. Insulin is really a fat storage hormone. So what it does, if somebody's overweight out there, the weight probably isn't all about what you're eating, but of course,
it's probably about your cortisol levels.
Yes. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Stress belly. They mm-hmm. call it. Yeah. So this is all such great information. And I'm wondering, you mentioned video games, and I know the youth of today is sitting much more playing video games, stuck in front of, you know, their Instagram. Have you done any studies with the brain tap in children?
Oh, yeah. We've done several. I'll talk about ones with gaming. We're actually working with a gaming group to have heart rate variability on them at the same time they're gaming. If you saw the brain after an hour of playing computer games, now I'm talking about the single shooter negative games that are out there. There are some good games out there. But their brain looks as the same as somebody who's smoking crack, or you know, because the brain is just destroyed. And so what we want to do is we want to show people, this is one of the things they can look forward to too, is we're going to have it where there'll be an alarm that tells you when you're in sympathetic overload to the point where it's damaging your body. Because there are people actually playing computer games in diapers, because they don't want to get up and go to the bathroom. That to me is crazy.
That's a very sad yeah. state of affairs we've come to.
So that what we did was what we showed them was that if whether it's an hour and a half, or 2 hours, depending upon the person, once your brain gets to a certain place, you've got to recover that efficiency of that brain. So we were having them do brain tap, and we showed them that the recovery that typically takes 4 hours after a workout or after playing computer games, it usually takes about 4 hours for the nervous system to adjust. That's why I don't recommend computer games before going to bed. It's going to be hard for the kid to go to bed. You know, so you should stop that after dinner or something like that, or just give him an hour or less. And then that's what I do with my grandson. I mean, I'm not going to stop him from playing, but I'm going to limit it to the point where he got to do it so he doesn't hate grandpa, but we go outside and play then, you know, and he does the brain helmet. We have a light helmet that gives energy to the brain because, you know, I'm explaining to him what's going on. But the best research we've done, I think, is with autistic children that are nonverbal. We did this with Joquita Handy out of Orange County, California. We took 60 kids and they all had almost no alpha activity. And that was one of the signs they were autistic. And what we did was we introduced brain tap to them. 90% of those kids in the study started speaking by the end of 6 weeks, as soon as we got their alpha activity up to about 20%. And that took training. It took them doing it a few times a day. So what happened then is we looked at that same brain 6 months later, and we found that they still had their 23% alpha. So we were able to train the brain. That's why we call it brain fitness. We're able to train the brain and actually show that over time it works. So if you have a kid that's hyperactive, they don't have to be on the spectrum of autism, but if they're not engaging, it's usually because they have that too much cortisol, too much hyperactivity.
This is a good time for me to ask any of our listeners who want to call in with a question for Dr. Patrick Porter on the brain, call us at 888-346-9141. Again, you can call in live, 888-346-9141 to ask Dr. Porter a question. We'll be taking calls in the last 5 minutes of the show. So I have another question for you. Are we all kind of born with the same brain, or is it going to be different from individual to individual? And how do we know when our brain is in perfect harmony for who we are as an individual? Because, you know, when I went for my spec scan at the Amen Clinic, they told me I had an excess of alpha waves. And I don't know if that was self-created or that's just how my brain was born.
Well, excess of alpha might mean you're a little spacey or something, but that's not a bad thing. Most people have an under arousal. They don't have any alpha. So, you know, you have, and I think that has to do with your years of meditating and doing yoga. You know, that's going to show up just like a creative person. But I think that what the main thing with our brain is to do different things all the time. And I think what happens as we're born into a family, we know that 20% of our gene expression is from our parents. 80% is from our environment, the foods we eat, what we do. So we're all born with pretty much the same kind of system. Let's say we all get the same puzzle board, but how we put that puzzle together can be different. And that's what happens to us as we grow and develop. If we're, let's say we have a family that lets us express and be creative, we're going to have more of that alpha activity. But if we have a family that's more judgmental and maybe doesn't allow us to, or we don't rebel, we might have a little more logical, linear kind of. So it's going to pattern. And I think it's stress that forms our brain. Stress also builds our brain. So it's not a negative. We only learn and grow through stress. So they actually did an experiment with mice and they gave them the perfect world to live in. And the mice didn't live as long.
We've got a caller.
Hi.
Hi. Well,
hi.
Hey, Linda, how are you? Sure.
Great. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. Are you enjoying the show?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I have a question specifically for you, sir. I love my brain tap, and I bought one for my mama. She's starting to show signs of Alzheimer's. And I had seen a video of you explaining that this helped Alzheimer's if you do the gamma programs. And I'm wondering, should she be doing it one time a day, or should she go from, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, each day do another one, or should she be doing them like several times a day? And how does it help an Alzheimer's brain, please?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, we recommend at least for the first 6 weeks, 3 times a day. So the first in the morning, they should be listening to some of the AM programs if she wants to listen to words, or she can listen to the alpha training. If you just put in alpha in the app, alpha is going to wake up her brain. There's also one, as we get better looking and more intelligent with age, we lose a brainwave called SMR. That's the one between alpha and beta. So I've even fine tuned it for the dementia brain so that they can start to tune into that one. And that happens right in the morning. And then in the afternoon, you're going to want to listen to those gamma series and each time rotate through that 1 through 10, but then also mix in our brain fitness series that has to do with cognitive thinking. And then at night, have her listen to the Delta series right before bed. We have to train the brain to once again, wake up in the morning, reboot in the middle of the day and go to sleep at night. And that was the dementia study protocol that we used that helped the women that I was probably talking about on the show you're on, that helped them get 49% more neuroplastic change in 6 weeks.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling, Linda. We've got Marie from San Diego.
Hi there.
Hello. Hey, Marie.
Hi. So I had a question. I am working with a naturopath, and she is diagnosing with some limbic system impairment. So she had recommended BrainTap, which I've been using, but I don't actually have the headset. So I was just wanting to know, is there a specific program that would work on BrainTap for the limbic system? And is the headset a necessary requirement when listening to the program?
Right. So first of all, we've done studies. It just takes a little bit longer to get the same result if you just have the app. So it does work. All of our studies, we do them both ways. The light for dementia and for Alzheimer's, we always recommend the light therapy because you need energy to do it. But if you're just listening in the other, it's fine. And all of the sessions are going to work with the limbic brain because you're going to get a cortical response from the frequencies. And that's really the part of the brain. It's also known as the reticular activating system. That's the part of the brain that's actually being attracted to the light, sound, and vibration. So it's not the conscious mind. It doesn't really matter what you're thinking. The brain will follow it through that limbic brain. And that's the part that's locked into that stress that I was talking about earlier. You know, it's locked in. And that's the fear brain because it's the part that's keeping us alive, but it doesn't realize that we're no longer being chased by saber-toothed tigers. So we can relax and kind of go with the flow now.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marie. We have time for one more caller. We've got Kim from Illinois.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Kim.
Hi there. I've just been enjoying your program so much. Thank you, Dr. Porter, for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom. I wanted to ask about anxiety because I'm you know, I've got a whole lot of anxiety with my family and at work. And I just, can you recommend, you know, the kind of meditation from your app that would best help me to soothe anxiety?
Right. The best ones are the theta trainings. That's about 90% of our sessions. So you could go through what I'd recommend if it's a life stressor. There's one called Better Life Me, a series, and it talks about how to get a well-formed life out of all the 9 different parameters of life experience, from family to friends to health to wealth to spirituality. It deals with all of them. And I think, and the other thing is that they're all going to also balance the hemispheres. We find that stress and anxiety and depression, those are all exacerbated when you don't have a balanced brain. So all of our sessions at the very beginning, the first 4 minutes is a balancing exercise, and there's always different ones. So make sure you rotate through a series. Don't listen to this, even though you might find one you really love, still rotate through it. Maybe only listen to that one every 10 days or something like that.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in, Kim. Thank you. We're glad you're enjoying this show. So I would like to thank everyone so much for listening today. Please share this with friends and family. If you know anyone who's stressed out, who has an imbalanced brain, there's help. Help is here. And we'll look forward to having you tune in next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Together we can do this. Brain, body, spirit, mind. We're going to get healthier together. Let's make America healthy. Thank you so much, everyone. Namaste.
Thanks for joining us on Make America Healthy. We hope we've given you some tools you need to take back control of your health. Until next time, we wish you a healthy and wonderful week.